Ryan does, wins America.
So glad to have Trisha Everdeen back in studio. It's been too long.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey.
Like, you just discovered you were here.
Oh, my gosh. Where are we?
Look at this. You just woke up, and it's 2026.
Wow.
Have you been on the show this year?
I don't know.
I don't know if you have. Maybe early in January. Mm-hmm. But it's been a while.
What are we talking about?
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Cleveland?
I think it's in Cleveland.
I've been to Cleveland.
You've been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I have not.
Do you have any desire?
I don't know. Is it cool? Have you been?
I've never been. I would say this is one of those things that if I found myself in Cleveland for a weekend, maybe, but yeah. I have no real desire to seek it out.
I feel that way about most museums. If I'm around them and I happen to go in them, I usually think, oh, this is neat, but I'm not a museum seeker outer.
Yeah. Museum, just the word itself. Sounds boring.
Yeah, like the kid in you just can't get all jazzed about going to a museum to read plaques on a wall about guitars. I don't know. Maybe it's super cool. It's probably super cool.
Well, if you are a big fan of a certain artist, I'm sure there is a booth or whatever they are that is devoted to that artist that's probably like, oh, this is cool.
Is there anything you're so passionate about that like really gets you excited? Like, for some people, it's music. For some people, it's...
Like, hobby-wise?
Yeah.
Well, writing. But that's not... There's nothing I can tangibly say, oh, I want to go seek this out with that hobby.
Like, you can, quote-unquote, nerd... There's nothing about it that you can, like, nerd out on, like, where you'd, like, plan trips around or, like, make people sit down and listen to you talk about for hours.
Okay, so this is pretty nerdy. But my first book, The Life of Human, mm-hmm. I just wrote it from home. And it takes place mostly in the South. And so anytime you're writing a book that's not about where you are, you got to do research about it. And I did a lot about, because it's very strategic, because there's like this robot rebellion in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts in basically Miami and starts to make its way into the United States. Well, I had to look at the geography of the South to see where there would be natural barriers for the army to like set up to try to stop it and stuff. And then most of the book, a lot of it takes place in a little town near there. Well, on a trip one time, I'm like, oh my gosh, we're going to be not that far from that town, which I had never been to.
Oh, you for sure have to stop and see that.
Yeah, that was fun. But it really burst my bubble because I had it in my head what it would look like and what, even you could use Google Maps and, you know, kind of seek it out and see what it is, which I did. But being there, I was like, this isn't really like,
it didn't have the same shine that it did in your mind.
Because it's like a building in particular, and there's stuff that goes on around it and the parking lots and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, this doesn't look anything like what's in my head. And it's really unimpressive.
I think you answered my question, though. I think you have writing that you're so passionate about.
Yeah.
That I don't think I have that.
Do you have any music or media, movies, anything that you're just like, oh yeah, that's my jam?
No, I mean, I like watching movies. I like watching
TV. Of course.
I like reading books. I have hobbies, mostly reading, but I don't feel like I need to like if they had a book museum, which I think they call a library, I guess I'd like to go to a library.
A book museum.
I there's nothing, like, people get so passionate about things, and there's something in me that just doesn't do that.
I know. And you know what's funny? On this station, there are people here that I can think of for that. One of them is Mark Reardon. That dude loves concerts.
Music in general.
Music in general. New music.
New music, live music, all different types of music.
Yeah.
He's just passionate about
it. He loves it. I mean, he soaks it up. And it's cool.
Yep.
And then he'll seek out concerts. He'll travel to see certain bands and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've always actually kind of admired that about him, because it's something that I did most people did when they're younger. And he's just kept doing it.
No, he loves it.
And it's loves it.
He's passionate about it.
But the funny thing is, when I think about Mark Cox, I'm like, that dude's passion is politics.
Mm-hmm.
So his job is his hobby.
Yep.
Which is why he just loves getting up at 4 in the morning every day, being like, let's do it again.
Let's talk about it. His passion is also bourbon, So he balances it out.
That's true.
But he's a guy with a lot of passions and and things that he gets really excited about.
Yeah. I will say this. I'm writing a new novel that has become a trilogy. And it is written very, it's extremely eerie. I love doing it, though. I mean, if I have a minute, sitting down with that thing and just working on it, pushing it further. And it's intended to be, it's the first thing I've ever written that's intended to have almost no comedy in it. And I'm just pushing myself just to see if I can do it. And I think it's going.
You slip jokes in there and then you're like, delete, delete, delete.
I really want to at times that I'm like, ugh. I can't.
None of your characters are funny?
None of the characters in that book are funny. Wow. They're not. They're very serious. I mean, there's some like lighthearted things, but for the most part, it's like a very scary, suspenseful book. And it's intended to keep you feeling uneasy the whole time you're reading it. So a little comedy, especially since it's written in such an old style, it's almost like reading Frankenstein, like in the way that it's written, that it just doesn't lend itself to a modern way of joking. So my point in telling you that is I'm so passionate about it. Well, over spring break last week, my wife I told her I would really like your feedback on this because she's a really good editor. And she sat down with it and she freaking hated it. She tore it apart. And part of me is glad because that's what she's good at is, you know, oh, you gotta basically bomb this part completely out.
Was this a call my baby ugly situation where you?
Yes. Like, but she can get away with it a little bit, well, but it still hurts, you know?
Yeah, where you've got real hurt feelings.
Oh, man. Because I'm done with book one. I'm done with book two. Mm-hmm. I'm more than halfway done with book three.
You're committed.
I'm way in.
You're way
in. And she's like, you know what you need to change is the beginning. Everything. And I'm like, oh, no.
Everything.
This is bad news. But she's right. And it's just written, it's written in such an old style that it's slow. And she's like, yes, I understand that it's very true to itself, but you got to move it faster and get the hook in. And I'm like, you're right. You're not wrong. So I got to restructure the whole beginning to get it into a hook.
Sorry.
But anyway.
You're lucky to have her.
I am lucky to have her. Let me ask you this quick question, which we started the segment with.
I was wondering if we were going to get back
and
to
we'll
that.
And we'll wrap
it
up.
Derailed it. I apologize.
Do you care ever about who is nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
No. Do you?
Yeah. I hate that I care. I don't want to care.
Wow.
But I do care.
You care.
It makes me mad, first of all, when they nominate people who are not rock and roll to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because you're just saying music. You're just saying the Music Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Well, go have a Music Hall of Fame.
But not rock and roll. Okay.
And I'm even okay with that definition being elastic.
How far off of the rock and roll genre do they go? Who's nominated?
Okay.
Do you have a list?
Let me just read a couple of these artists that definitely for me would not be rock and roll. And then I'll say a few that I'm like, maybe, you know, I could see. But Lauryn Hill?
Yeah, not rock and roll.
Not rock and roll. Wu-Tang Clan?
Not rock and roll.
Sade?
Don't know who
she's
that
like
is.
Easy listening, not even close to rock
and roll.
I don't
even know if I really know who that is.
What about Pink?
Oh, love her. Yeah, I think you could make an argument that Pink's rock. It's pop rock. But
I would argue
you could,
against it, but also allow that the argument could be made.
I think if you're talking about the elasticity thing, I think she kind of falls within, she'd hit a bumper, but I could see Pink in there.
That's fair. Shakira.
Mm.
No.
Latin rock?
You're trying really hard, though, right?
Yeah.
So that drives me crazy.
Is it just that there's not enough rock and rollers to keep this thing going?
Well, I don't
know.
Listen to the other ones. Black Crowes.
Yeah.
Melissa Etheridge. I mean, she's not like hard rock, but she would be considered rock.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Idol.
Yeah. Bob, that's kind of a pop rock sort of thing, too.
He's a lame rocker, but he's rock. He's tried to be really hard. NXS is a little more pop rock, but I think rock.
Is NXS.
Yeah, go ahead. Take your time.
I don't think I can. They're punk rock.
No. They're.
Am I thinking of someone else?
I think you're thinking of somebody else. They're more pop 80s rock.
Okay.
I still think that they would be considered rock, even if they were using a lot of synth. Iron Maiden. I mean, that's
rock.
That's definitely rock, right?
I don't even know what they do, but
yeah.
I know that that's rock.
And then Oasis, you know, that's traditional Beatles-style rock. It's not as hard as nowadays.
To me, Oasis kind of feels like the other end of the spectrum from Pink, where it's like an alt-rock sort of thing.
That's fair. I wouldn't call Pink that. Pink is more
other
poppy.
Other end of the spectrum. Okay. She's like the pop rock, and Oasis is the alt-rock.
Okay.
And there's like, in the middle is like real rock and roll.
Yeah, okay. Okay. But anyway, there are plenty of artists that are considered rock.
So
that you don't have to add Mariah Carey, who is also on this list.
She's an icon.
Oh, totally. But go be in the Pop Hall of Fame or the Music Hall of Fame. You're not a rock and roll artist. This is the same argument that happens with the stupid Rock and Roll Hall of Fame all the time.
Every year.
Every year. And it never ceases to drive me crazy. It's just like...
How do they fix it? How do they fix it? You want them to make a bunch of different Hall of Fames?
Oh, no. The cat's out of the bag. Now you can't fix it. You got to basically destroy it.
You want to just blow the whole thing up and start over?
Shut it down.
Shut it down.
Start over.
All of it meant nothing.
Yeah, once you allowed Lauryn Hill in.
What if they just renamed the existing Rock and Roll Hall of Fame to Music Hall of Fame?
Fine. It's boring, but it's more accurate. And I'm fine with that. What this reminds me of is back when cable TV was at its peak. It's dead now. Yeah. But when cable TV was at its peak...
Is this like early 2000s?
It would be right around there. When you had a billion channels, and they were all making content, but they were making... It would be like the new channel was the goat channel. You'd be like, oh, we're focusing on goats and not greatest of all time, like actual goats. And that's what we're going to do. And they would spin this weird marketing campaign to be like, everybody who's really into quilting, this is your channel.
I mean, that hyper-focused thing works because people are so passionate about... There are people that are so passionate about certain things that's why, I mean, it happens on YouTube all the time. If you can hone in on the quilting channel and get those passionate quilters, yep, it works.
I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it if they do quilting on the quilting channel. But what ends up happening is that they're like, you know what people really like is puppies. And they're like, at first, we're going to introduce a show called Quilting with Puppies. And then it just becomes puppies, and you're not doing your original vision at all. Like, you use that as a marketing thing, mm-hmm, and then you just jump ship. MTV is the perfect example, mm-hmm, of that. They were music television, and then they started to branch into other forms of music television. Okay, totally fine.
And all reality.
And then it just became Jersey Shore, and you're like, this is ridiculous.
I said, thank you so much for Jersey Shore.
What? You loved it?
You don't love Jersey Shore?
No.
I've only watched like a season or two.
And look, I've met Snooki.
What? Is she great?
Well, I'd say met is a pretty loose term. When the Annie Fry show, you never heard the story?
Mm-mm.
We're going to go long just because of stupid Snooki.
Your show.
When the Annie Fry show, as a team, Annie, Brad, myself, and Hannah at the time, all went to Disney World for a weekend.
Yeah.
We were staying at the same resort as Snooki.
Did I know that?
I don't know.
That's hilarious.
And I didn't know that. And we got onto an elevator, apparently, with her husband, who is also somewhat famous, mm-hmm, not as much as her. And I told some joke about keeping a banana with me at all times and keeping it in my pocket or something. You know where that's going. And that dude laughed. And we got off the elevator, and Hannah goes, do you know who that was? I'm like, no, it's some dude with a stroller.
And a great sense of humor.
And a good sense of humor. And she said, no, that was Snooki's husband. I'm like, oh, really? Made Snooki's husband laugh. And then we saw her on a boat.
Talk about the peak of,
yeah,
like, this is your
well, what
your
I'm
prime.
Telling you is that I can speak more authoritatively about Jersey Shore than
I can, but I do think it is pretty funny.
Attention to the Wiggins America dancers.